Haven of the Heart by Avril Ives. Narrated by Jerry Allen for Saga Egmont. When Jocelyn received the news that old Mrs. Fitzgerald had remembered her so generously in her will, with such amazing generosity, in fact, she could not believe it. She made Mr. Dashwood, the solicitor, smile a little when she sat in his office and confronted him on the far side of his old-fashioned desk, and explained to him that so far as she knew, Mrs. Fitzgerald could have had no reason at all for remembering her. "My mother, who married rather late in life, acted as her companion for years," she explained, "and I believe there was rather a close bond between them. When my mother left to get married, Mrs. Fitzgerald insisted on making a small settlement on her, and when I was a child, I was allowed to visit her once, and stayed with her at Fairhaven. But apart from that one visit, she never saw me again, and there was no reason at all why she should remember me in her will."
"But nevertheless, she did remember you, to the tune of some 30,000-odd pounds, and the house at Fairhaven."
Mr. Dashwood could not resist smiling this time, with more amusement as he regarded the concerned face in front of him. For one thing, it was a face he would never have found the smallest objection to studying at any time. A fair, typically English face, despite the fact that the girl's mother had had nothing but Irish blood in her veins, lit by blue eyes that made him think of bluebells lying in colourful patches in the woods, and framed in a cloud of light brown hair that looked as if it had been powdered with gold dust. She wore a dainty little hat and a neat suit, and her gloves and her shoes and her handbag were all very correct and unobtrusive. Another reason why he smiled, with that little glint of humour under his heavy eyebrows, was because it struck him as definitely singular that anyone should attempt to probe the reasons why a fortune had been left to them. Most people would have been thankful and nothing more, but this girl was not like that.
"You may find the house a bit of a liability," he informed her. "It's large and a bit unwieldy, and full, of course, of old-fashioned furniture, some of it probably very valuable. You may think it a good plan to sell the whole lot as it stands, if we can secure you a good enough offer."
But for the first time, Jocelyn adopted a positive attitude towards her new possessions. "I don't think so," she said, giving the brown gold head a shake. "If my memories of the house have not been affected by the lapse of time since I was there, it is a lovely old house, and I know Mrs. Fitzgerald herself adored it." As she spoke, she had a mental picture of the house, surrounded by emerald lawns, bowered in trees with green hills rising behind it, and green slopes running before it down to the curling edges of the seas that seeped quietly on to Fairhaven sands. But there was a worried thought at the back of her mind, and she clasped both her slim hands together and leaned a little towards Mr. Dashwood. "But I'm most certain Mrs. Fitzgerald had close relatives of her own, to whom she could have left her property. Why didn't she do so?" she added. Mr. Dashwood spread his plump hands in a gesture.
"My dear Miss Cheryl, don't hold me responsible for the whims of an elderly lady," he begged rather whimsically. "Or for any lady, if it comes to that. Mrs. Fitzgerald certainly had nephews, three of them, as a matter of fact, and so far as I am aware, they are all living in Fairhaven. But their existence has nothing whatever to do with you or I."
"You mean she didn't leave them anything at all?"
"Nothing," with a faint shrug of his shoulders, "so far as I am aware."
"Is it possible she made a settlement on one or other of them before she died?"
"I don't think so. In fact, I'm quite certain she did nothing of the kind. You see," he explained, with an almost fatherly glance this time, "I handled all her affairs, and have done so for many years, and I would know whether any generous action of that sort had taken place. But this firm has certainly not drawn up any deed of settlement in favour of the Fitzgerald brothers, for one thing."
With an infinitesimal pause,
"they were the least little bit of a thorn in their aunt's side."
"You mean they weren't all she would have liked them to be?"